Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. Here, as always, with Mike Morial. We are talking Central Scouting midterm rankings. Mike, it's nice to see you. It's been quite the travel day for you the last couple days. The All-American game, how are you feeling?
Feeling all right, Adam. It's been good. I literally just got in like 15, 20 minutes ago. So we're rocking and rolling. We're looking forward to this episode. We got Dan Moore, director of NHL Central Scouting, to join us today to talk midterm ranks. And obviously, Adam, there's a lot to discuss, right? I mean, Macklin Celebrini's tearing it up at BU. And we got a plethora of defensemen, good, solid defensemen in this draft for all these clubs to choose from. So it's going to be interesting. We'll have a lot of good topics to talk about with Dan.
Before we get into Dan Moore and the Central Scouting midterm rankings, Mike, you were at the All-American game yesterday in Plymouth, Michigan. You got to see Cole Eiserman. You got to see some of the best American-born draft prospects for the 2024 draft. Who jumped off the page? Who stood out to you?
Yeah, well, Cole Eiserman was one player that every scout that was there was interested in seeing, and there were over 150 scouts at the game, Adam. It was well attended by the scouting industry, and obviously the fans were there. They were geared up for it too, to see Eiserman, who plays for the National Team Development Program. He had a goal scored late in the third period to tie the game for Blue. White would eventually win when John Mustard, the Oradell, New Jersey native, scored on a rush in overtime. And he's a projected maybe fourth, fifth round pick. John Mustard had a real nice game, goes about 6 foot, 185 pounds, is going to Providence College next season. Other players that really had some nice games, I thought Trevor Connolly, who is number five ranked, he plays for Tri-City in the United States Hockey League. He played really well. He actually assisted the Eiserman goal late in the third. And they know each other really well. Cole mentioned that to me when I spoke to him after the game, that they're a good friend. So that was nice to see. Kamil Bednarik, another potential first-round pick in this upcoming draft, plays for the NTDP. He's headed to Boston University next season. Big-size centerman, real good IQ, really showed his stuff in this game as well. Max Plant obviously has some pedigree there. His dad played in the NHL for several years, going to the University of Minnesota Duluth, and Max is a potential second-round pick as well. So there were several players that really showcased their skill at this game. It was nice to see. It was a good effort on both sides. The game was tight early on. They kind of loosened up later on. But overall, it was nice to see these 2024 draft eligibles doing what they did at this game. It was it's going to be nice to see what they can do over the second half, too, and whatever teams they play for and the leagues they play for down the stretch.
Well, it's good stuff. Let's bring in the expert now to talk about it, Dan Moore, the Vice President of NHL Central Scouting. Dan, thank you for joining us today in NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
Morning, gentlemen. It's going well. We're in the busy part of the season, running from meetings to prospects game to league games to prospect games. So January is always a hectic month.
Right on, Dan. I saw you at the All-American game, so it was a pretty decent game, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later on Draft Class. But to start off here, Dan, we all know, Macklin Celebrini is the undisputed top prospect of this draft class. Personally, I feel Macklin is probably a one-and-done at BU, will be in the NHL next season for whichever team wins the NHL draft lottery. But my question to you is, with how dominant Celebrini has been with the Terriers this year as a freshman, does he have what it takes to be as impactful as has Connor Bedard in his NHL rookie season with Chicago?
Well, I think it's a real tough comparison to, make the comparison between someone who's in the NHL and someone who's not. And like Connor Bedard, we knew he would be in the NHL. And again, the debate will always come up if the NHL is made for teenagers, and Connor's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I believe, with an injury. That's always a concern in the back of everyone's mind. So Macklin Celebrini, for me, I think it would be a bit of a rush. I still think he's got some room to physically mature and develop, which will help his game. And there's a big difference between his physical development in Connor Bedard's. And I do think that's a factor that teams will put into play. And talent wise, yes, you know, he could make that jump, but just the overall growth of his game, I think there's still some things that he can achieve outside of the NHL, like maybe winning a gold medal in whether it's World Juniors, men's national team, whether it's helping BU take that next step to be a legitimate, you know, contender, or maybe even a back-to-back winning season there. And that type of experience and life skills that you achieve there, they bode well for any player that's entering the NHL down the road. So I think sure, but steady progression is good for him. But as you stated right from the get-go, whoever drafts him, they're going to be having that conversations amongst themselves and with Macklin's parents and advisors and Macklin, and they'll make that call down the road.
Dan, Cole Eiserman is someone, you know, we watched him last night at the All-American game. He had a nice game. We expected him to be 1-2 with Celebrini all the way through, probably up till June. He's number 8 in the midterm rankings, which is still pretty good. Was his placement there just a situation where guys just played better than him, were able to elevate their games more than him? And what have you liked about Eiserman's game so far this season?
For our group, going into the season, he was a top 5 contender. We've never really had it where it was a 2-horse, 3-horse race. And what's taken place, and you know, we have 7 full-time scouts that cross over and see all the players. And the NHL clubs, their scouts go to a lot of games. They don't do the same degree as crossover as we do at this time of the season. And it's a simple matter that Cole Eiserman is a very talented player. He might be one of the best, like the most pure goal scorer in this draft class. But just what's happened with a lot of these other players, they've just taken their game to another level and they just have gone by him. And that's not a knock. Like I spoke with his representatives the other day and I just said, like, you know, there's nothing negative to say about Cole Eiserman. Right now he comes across and he's producing like that one-dimensional talent where he can score. Some of these other players have a little bit more multidimensional games. So I can tell you right now, like, you know, the top 3, 4, 5 names may change order. And, you know, even in the top 10, there'll probably be some change in the order, but I think we're looking at the same names. So somebody could have Cole number 2. Nobody's going to argue. We have to put them in a range, but we had all 7 of our staff. This is where he landed, just because, like, Levshunov and Boehm, their play has been outstanding. And, like, you know, I would use the word off the charts, and what they're doing as freshmen at that level. And so, like, you know, Dickinson, like, his game is just coming into his own now, to where he's taken it to another level here in the last month and a half, where he's dominating games now. And Carter Yakimchuk, he's just a phenom out there, the type of year that he's having. So just some other guys have taken their game to another level, and that's not to say that Cole won't, but he's definitely a top 10 talent. And like I said, he may play a one-dimensional game, but it's the type of dimension that's important at the National Hockey League level, and that you need someone that can score goals.
I spoke to James Hagans, who was MVP at the All-American game last night, and he's not eligible until the 2025 draft. And obviously he played on a line with Eiserman this season. The one thing that I thought was interesting when I asked Hagans about Eiserman, and other than his shot, I asked him what makes Cole a special player. And he said his work ethic and determination to get better. So that was real good to know. And it was nice of James to say that about his teammates. So, but switching gears here to the number one ranked player on the international list, Konsta Hellenius of Jurgerit in Liga. He said he models his game after Alexander Barkov of the Panthers. Do you see a resemblance?
Well, it's hard to see the physical resemblance just because of the size difference. But the resemblance could be with their hockey mind, their IQ and their hockey sense. Like Hellenius is like the most skilled player on the international list. He's one of the more highly skilled players in the draft. And what he has to go along with that is that he's very competitive, like highly competitive. You mentioned like Hagen's the player for next year's draft. These are both highly competitive players, but they've got the skills, but they've also got the smarts, the hockey smarts, the IQ, the offensive hockey sense to go out there and make things happen. And Hellenius, like he can't protect the puck, cycle the puck, you know, have the same one-on-one power forward game that Barkov can bring. So like I can see all these comparables. There's just certain elements that match up. And you just got to be clear in your conversations with people. So like he has the elements where he's got the skills and he's got the hockey smarts and that drive and compete, you know, they both have that they want to do the best for their teams, and they're not selfish players. They're team first players. They play that style of game. So he's in that top 10 mix for this draft class. And he deserves to be at the top of the international rankings at this point.
Dan, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier with Artem Levchinov. Four defensemen in the top seven here in the midterm. Levchinov, Zeev Bouyum, Carter Yakimchuk, and Sam Dickinson. They're all big guys who can skate really well. But what was it about Levchinov that separated him from that group? And how much did Bouyum's play at World Juniors maybe give you pause for thought, cut into that gap a little bit?
Artem Levchinov, he's just a really like nice story in the making here. And he's got some nice chapters so far in his career, but he is the most complete package for a defenseman and probably the most NHL ready of anybody in this draft class. He's just a beast physically. He spent the offseason at Michigan State working with their strength coach there, and it's really paid off for him. He's got the right kind of confidence in that. Like, he's not cocky. He's just really, really motivated. He's got a lot of self-discipline, and he understands how to play the game. He understands his position. He wants to learn. He wants to be the best that he can be. I'm very familiar with the coach at Michigan State, Adam Nightingale. I've talked to the coach a lot. I spent some time with Artem earlier there. And every game now at Michigan State, you're talking 50-plus NHL personnel. The game I was there, I walked around, I did a lap and did a head count. I was at 56, and that included two general managers at the last game there. So he's really got a lot of people talking about him, but he just has a smart, efficient game. Defensively, he defends with a purpose, with authority. His passing game is very precise, and he's sharp on top of the play. At the offensive blue line, he keeps plays alive. He pinches in smartly. He's smart about joining the rush. Like, it's hard to find any holes to his game. And Bouyum, the World Junior, like we had our meetings during the World Juniors, and you know, we're not surprised at the way he's been playing, but it's what he's doing at Denver that really stands out as a freshman to come in on the national championship team and basically become their number one defenseman. And he runs the power play. He's, you know, top of the team, top of the league as a defenseman. And again, he's got a composure to his game, and he's got the skating and the skills to match it to where he just makes plays. But under pressure, he's amazing. And at both blue lines, he gets the job done. He's shown us a focus without the puck that we didn't see last year because he wasn't put in that situation as much in the national team development program. So again, he's showing us he's got that all around game. And both of them, they're just having truly amazing seasons. And like I said, you go to a Denver game or a Michigan State game, you've got dozens of NHL personnel there at those games.
Hey, Dan, real quick, just a follow up there. I mean, so if you're a team that wins the draft lottery and you're in dire need of a defenseman, maybe you have a whole lot of centers already on your club. Maybe you have some in the pipeline as well. I mean, is there a chance there that you may, is there a debate within the meeting room when they're having their meetings, the scouts for that particular team, that maybe Levshinov could be the top pick?
Well, I think there's some potential for those conversations at the end of the year, once the season concludes and we see what everyone has done. Depends on who your GM is. If you've got the number one pick, you may just want to, depending on where you are, if you're the number two or number three team, you may want to trade it, trade it up, trade it down, get some other pieces and still get one of those top players. But I think Levshinov and Boom are both players that are worth trading up for.
I'm curious your thoughts on Berkeley Catton of Spokane, number nine on the midterm ranks. He's had a real nice season, is one of 15 WHL prospects invited to participate in the CHL NHL Top Prospects game on January 24th. What do you like about Berkeley, and where do you see him fitting, you know, some at some point down the road in the NHL?
Again, well, I'm going to go back. You go back last couple of years where you've got Benson and Savoie that were drafted from Winnipeg in the WHL, and they're not the biggest forwards. And as you can see, both of them have already made, you know, significant strides in their development and an advancement with their team at the NHL level. So Berkeley Catton kind of fits in that same category. We have a measure, 5'10 and 3/4, 170 pounds, but he plays like he's 6'1, 190. And he can do that and keep himself in the lineup, which is very important when you're looking at the smaller type forwards. But despite his size, he's got that core balance. Like he's strong for his size, but he plays that hard driving game to the net. He's got a compete in him, desire and motivation that he wants to get to the net. He wants to make the play. He goes through traffic. He's like under pressure, and at speed, he can make the play. So the talent is there, to where, you know, he's a top 10 talent. At some point, again, you're going to want to just take a player that you know will come in, play for your team for a long time, but have the skills and the smarts to make an impact on your team. And he's one of those guys that's going to be an impact player on whatever NHL team is fortunate to draft him.
Dean Letourneau of St. Andrews College is number 20 on the list. It's not very often that you see a Canadian prep school player so highly regarded. You know, obviously at 6'6", 210, he certainly stands out that way. And the stats are off the charts, 33 goals and 76 points in 39 games the last time I looked. But for your group, how difficult is it to compare Letourneau playing at his level compared to guys playing at the CHL level, the NCAA, arguably higher level competition?
Well, not only is it difficult for our group, it's difficult for the 32 clubs as well. When their scouts go in, our scouts tell me all the time, the NHL team scouts are asking us, when are we going to move him to an A, give him an A grade? And we still haven't made that move because, as you alluded to, the level that he's playing at, you have to make those comparisons. And we're fortunate, like the comfort level that we have where he is on our list now, like he's the first B player. Just for context, you know, we only have 19 A-ranked players on the North American side. We saw him play last year, and we'd seen St. Andrews quite a bit. So all of our full-time scouts saw him play last year. We saw him play this year. We got a look at him playing two games with Sioux Falls right during the Christmas break in the USHL. And we've seen this before where high school and prep school players go and play a couple games in the USHL and they kind of look a little lost. And so there's, you kind of get a little glimpse of a comparison. But what we were kind of pleased to see was that Letourneau with Sioux Falls, he was really on top of the play. He was reading the play. He was moving. He was in position. I know like he, I watched the one game, he hit the post. He had three really quality scoring chances. Defensively, he back-checked with a purpose. He was in the right place at the right time, just really on top of the play. So he's got size. He can skate. He's got pretty good hockey sense. The numbers, as you alluded to, they're a little off the chart, and you can't, you know, you can't compare apples to oranges to lemons to bananas. So all we know is that he knows how to get open and get those scoring chances. And in the past, we've had guys like Mark Jankowski from Stanstead College, and we had him at the top of the second. Calgary took him late in the first. It was in that range. We had Warren Fogle from St. Andrews, not quite as high. He went in the third round. I think there's more of an openness and willingness for the NHL clubs just to scour players at every level, that they're not going to let the fact that he's playing at a prep school in Ontario to inhibit their thought process on what the prospect might be 3-4 years down the road.
Dan, is there a B-rated prospect you feel has been progressing in the right direction and maybe could push, you know, some of the players in the top 32 on Central's final list when that's revealed at some point?
Well, I know who my staff would say. they would say Jet Luchenko from Guelph. And we do have him at 21. He is a B prospect. But for myself, I think the player that can make the most significant move might be someone like Merrick Van Acker on Brantford. He's currently 25. But I could see him moving up. And you know, I know you like to look like a little deeper into the draft class. There, Miguel Marquez on Lethbridge, he's making a significant move here. He's getting stronger and stronger as the season goes on. And we have a number of defensemen in Ontario, and I've talked to some general managers in the OHL, and Luca Morelli from Oshawa. They kind of agree with the statement that by the time all these OHL defensemen ahead of him get to the NHL, he may be the best at the NHL level. So there's a few players that could fit into that category. And then like Sam O'Reilly, John Mustard, who you saw last night, like these guys
yep.
here are all stimulating a lot of conversation. So this year's draft class, the quality at the top end, like for the top, you know, 60 players, is pretty good. And I do feel that there's going to be a lot of change in the order of our rankings when we come up with our final rankings. And that's a fun part of this job during the season, but you can go out and see these players where they improve their games, they improve their standings. But there's a lot of them, especially the European content that's in the CHL that's first-time draft eligible. Dzeko, Curran, there's a lot of these players that are starting to make significant moves. Miettinen at Everett, his game has come into form. So there's a lot of these players that have come over from the in the CHL import draft. They're going to make some significant moves as well.
Dan, we could go on all day talking about the Central Scouting midterm list. This is all fantastic stuff, but I know this is a busy time for you. So thank you for taking so much time today to join us on NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure.
Lot to unpack there, Adam. I thought, you know, Dan was fantastic talking about the top players here in the North American list. And obviously we got some international flavor as well, but you know, Macklin Celebrini, I mean, he's the man of the hour here, obviously scouts going over to to Boston to see him play with the Terriers, and head coach Jay Pandolfo. He's playing in all situations. Obviously, he had a real good World Juniors. He was disappointed Canada didn't make the medal round, but 8 points, 4 goals. And it's fair to say that he was probably Canada's best player as an underager at the World Juniors, which is so difficult to do. And I was crunching numbers too, Adam, and it's kind of interesting. Jack Eichel, when he played at Boston University, after 17 games with the Terriers, 8 goals and 27 points and 1 power play goal. And Celebrini, after 17 games, 13 goals, 29 points, 5 power play goals. So almost similar. Celebrini is a little bit ahead of where Eichel was in his Hobey Baker winning season back in 2015. And of course, he went number two to the Buffalo Sabres that year after some guy named Connor McDavid. But yeah, Celebrini is, you know, Celebrini is just lighting it up right now. Jay Pandolfo can't talk and speak enough about him, what he's meant to the team, the leadership he's shown already. And just getting back to World Juniors for a second, he started that tournament in a fourth line role, and he wound up in a top line role. So right now, Celebrini, and I, you know, I think we can tend to agree with Dan here on all counts that Macklin is the number one guy in this draft leading up, you know, to the second half surge that we have right now to see what he can do over the second half. What kind of caught your interest with what Dan was discussing there, Adam?
Well, the thing that absolutely stood out was Artem Levchinov might be the most NHL-ready player in this year's draft class. Number two on the list, more so than Macklin Celebrini, you know, called him the most complete NHL-ready package right now. 24 points in 22 games, and he's 6'2" and 208 pounds. You know, I don't think I expected to hear Dan Marsay Levchinov would be the most NHL-ready prospect. You know, he's obviously is a true freshman coming. He's played exceptionally well at Michigan State. You know, you heard Dan, he's 50-60 NHL scouts at every game. They're watching him. You asked the question, if you're a team with, you know, who feels you're pretty set down the middle, maybe you need a defenseman, could Levchinov be the number one pick? And in listening to Dan speak, I would think it has to be a possibility now. I don't know if a team would do it, but, you know, I think if in a certain situation, you know, the way he may, you know, Dan isn't coming to these opinions necessarily on his own. He's hearing from NHL teams, right? And if NHL teams are saying this guy's the real deal, then, you know, maybe Macklin Celebrini isn't the unanimous potential number one pick. Maybe there's a window where Artem Levchinov could hear his name called number one. That to me was very surprising. Is incredibly interesting as we move forward here.
Yeah, he's the third youngest player in college hockey behind Celebrini and Zeev Bouyum, who's number four on the midterm list. And Dan got into Zeev Bouyum at the University of Denver and what he's all about. He was another fantastic player for the United States in that gold medal winning effort at World Juniors. So as Dan said, you know, over at Michigan State for Levchinov, Adam Nightingale is there as his coach. So he has a lot going for him, and he's a high-end defenseman, and it's going to be interesting to see what he's capable of doing over this second half stretch here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch, Mike, as we move forward here. We've got the CHL Top Prospects game coming up in Moncton, New Brunswick next week. We'll get some FaceTime with some of the top guys in the Canadian Hockey League. It is the busy time of the year for prospect lists. We're getting to know some of these kids. It's going to be big time moving forward here as we get into the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're looking forward to the CHL and NHL Top Prospects game. It's another event that we're always gearing up for, and going back to Moncton where the World Juniors were held as well. So looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So stay tuned to NHL.com for all of our stories. Stay tuned to NHL Draft Class wherever you enjoy your podcasts. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.